Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here.
Good morning. And God bless you all. Let's open our Bibles this morning to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we're going to just read one verse for our text. This will be from the Amplified Version. But understand this, that in the last days there will be set in perilous times of great stress and trouble, hard to deal with and hard to bear. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day that you've given to us to have not only this morning service, but the communion service this evening. And Father, in between the fellowship with the saints, and Father, we just commit, Lord, our end time lives to your end time plan. Be with us, Father, as we open thy word this morning, and may truly, Lord, reflect what you would have for us to know. In Jesus Christ's precious name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Hard to deal with and hard to bear. Now, in the next two paragraphs from Satan's Eden, Brother Branham, he says, now, to come down tonight just to speak to you and say, well, I could do this or that. I'd like to speak with the people as much as I'd like to even go home with each one of you tonight. But God knows that's the truth. But I'd like to go home with each one of you and eat breakfast with you in the morning and go out and squirrel hunt with you in the afternoon. But see, I'd like to do that, but I can't do that. And I would like to go home and just sit down and talk with you and sit on the porch after the service and speak with you a while and talk to you about the welfare, about your welfare and about God. I'd love to do that. Men and women here, God knows I'd like to do that, but I can't do it. See, there's just so much a pull and a strain, and in this nervous age that we're living in, you see, and I'm a nervous person myself. Today I got my mind made up and just something that I've just got to do it, and tomorrow it's a million miles from me. Something's done cut in and done this and that, and you have a time trying to keep your wits together. But my main achievement is to preach the gospel to the church and do all that I can to bring honor to Jesus Christ in this day while I'm here on earth and what time that I have left on the earth. Now, with what he said here, I just want to examine this thought on this nervous age that we're living in. In a sermon Christ revealed in his own word, Brother Branham said, now men now and people today are in such a neurotic condition, the whole world. The whole human race is rotten. Well, if the physical beings of our body is tearing down like that from eating hybrid foods and tensions that rotten it, does not that also rot the brain cell? It's come to the place where the whole nation, the whole world, not only this nation, but everywhere, is mentally gone. And in examining Brother Bram's statement this morning from Satan's Eden, and now this statement from Christ is revealed in his own word, we see that the world most certainly is in a neurotic condition the world over. We read from the Amplified Version of 2 Timothy 3 and 1, which we find to be the most fitting for this age that we're living in now, because he says, but understand this, that in the last days there will be set in perilous times of great stress and trouble, hard to deal with and hard to bear. And in the Webster's Dictionary, we find the definition of neurosis, as Brother Bam said, the whole world is in a neurotic condition. The definition for neurosis is any of various psychic or mental functional disorders characterized by one or several of the following reactions: anxiety, compulsions, obsessions, phobias, depressions, and disassociations. Now, he says any one of various psychic mental functional disorders, but then he lists seven of them, or actually he lists six, but there's a seventh. And this age that we know to be seven times hotter, as Brother Brown said, or even harder than any other age. But if you recall, we took several years ago a study on the end-time neurosis in our end-time insanity series, and we covered individually the attributes of neurosis, and we found that the very first which sets the whole neurotic behavior in motion is anxiety, which means to worry about what might happen. Not what's going to happen, what you think might happen. But once you begin to worry, you begin to do compulsive things and actions to try to overcome your anxiety, and that leads to compulsive behavior. And once you become compulsive, if you do not cut that behavior off at the start, it leads to obsessive behavior. You've heard the term obsessive compulsive. Well, that's the way it goes. It goes from anxiety to compulsive behavior. You're trying to do this or that to prevent whatever you think might happen. Pretty soon you're so caught up into it, it becomes an obsession to you. So compulsion, left unchecked, creates an obsessive behavior, and you become obsessed with your compulsive behavior, and that leads to phobia, which is fear. And we know that fear has a penalty, according to the Word of God. And the penalty of fear is that you stop moving forward. You just stop what you're going to do. Like the Bible tells us, you freeze up like Joseph when he feared to take Mary to be his wife because he thought, well, you know, she's got pregnant by some other device, and she's telling me, you know, an angel came and whatever. But see, fear came on him, and the fear came on him, and he was going to pull back on the renege on his vow, and the Holy Spirit sent an angel and said, fear not. All right, get rid of the fear. This is all God. So you freeze up like a person in fear of a dog or a mugger, and you fail to take the proper action to work around the things that you fear. As I said, Joseph feared to take Mary to be his wife, and so he was ready to give her a bill of divorcement. Now, the problem is that it just doesn't stop there. Fear leads to depression, and then depression leads to disassociation, which is cutting yourself off from other people, where you distance yourself from others. Now, we showed you that disassociation is the last stage of neurosis, and I think it is interesting that the powers to be have been working people into such a state of neurosis through the manipulation, through fear, and then pushing for distancing, that the people have taken the several steps almost by suggestion from one to the next. If you recall, in 2019, from August to December, we spent 11 weeks showing you this progression, how it comes. And I sat back for these past 2 years just in amazement that this is the exact tactic the enemy has taken, using to destroy the people of the world and bring on full-blown neurosis, which is a full-blown insanity. Now, if you analyze the power play of the deep state, that they have used anxiety and compulsive mask wearing and social distancing and made it into such an obsessive behavior that people wear masks while alone outdoors or driving alone in their car, showing they are demon-possessed by this anxiety and compulsive behavior, wearing not just one mask, but two or more, and social distancing from their own families, their own children, and grandchildren. Just look at all the six stages of neurosis that Webster's defined, and we have preached time and time again over the years and for those 11-week period that laid out just exactly how this world will go into full-blown neurosis, and we did that for 3 months before the plagues even arrived in this country. Just shows to me that the pillar of fire is still leading us to the money. He's still in control, brothers and sisters. And we are sons of God, and if sons of God, then we are led by the Spirit of God and not by Satan's minions. And God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of a sound mind. So where does this fear come from? It comes from the devil. The perfect love casts out fear, the Bible tells us, and perfect love can only come via a perfect faith in a vindicated word. Now, just look at the steps that Daniel Webster said take place in the process of becoming neurotic. And then on your own, I'd like you to make a list of each thing that you see that falls under these steps. And you'll be amazed how the Holy Spirit has prepared our hearts and minds for victory against Satan's agenda in this Satan's Eden. Anxiety is first, and that is what they have pumped through the fake media. COVID, 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 COVID. World pandemic. You're all going to die. So they work the people up into an anxiety attack, which is exactly the opposite of what Jesus told us, that the Apostle Paul told us, be anxious for nothing. Brother Brown knocked 7 times on the pulpit and said, there's relaxation under the 7th seal. We should be the most relaxed people, and I believe this church is. I believe we are just very relaxed people. The world may be going nuts, but we're at rest in Christ because we know the end from the beginning. Amen. He told us 60 years ago there'd be germ warfare. We see it. Are we worried about it? No, we're not. Because as our brother read that the psalm, we read it every service, that it shall not come thy knee. 1,000 at my right, 10,000 at my left, but it will not come nigh me or my household. You see? Now, Philippians 4 and 6, do not be anxious for anything. That's a command. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understandings, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. And Brother Branham warned us not to worry because worry will take down your health. You see, these anxiety, you know, oh, this is great, COVID thing has come. Listen, it's a cold and it's SARS. SARS is dangerous. About 1% of people die from SARS. But wait till they send MERS, which is 30%, or Marburg disease. And we have Zechariah 14:12 says that it's going to come. The people will rot in their flesh, in their eye sockets, in their mouths, and their, you know, any orifice in their body is going to bleed out. That's your Ebola's. You got Marburg and Reston and a bunch of, there's like four or five of them. They all came out of the level four labs, brother, sister. They're not from some, you know, person ate a monkey or some person ate a bat. It has nothing to do with bats. They use bats to culture their germ warfare. That's what they've been using bats for. We know it's coming. But we know the Holy Spirit forbid it to touch the elect. So your brother asked the brother, look, let me tell you something. She's going to sue you for divorce. Well, that's Satan. See, you shouldn't do that. But if you're a Christian and done nothing in the world to hinder that woman, then it's Satan doing that. He's only trying to tear you up. Now, if she is one of God's elected, she will come to him. If she's not, she's not worth worrying about. Then if it does, if you worry, it'll break your health down, and that's what Satan wants to do. He's working, I know, at you. So you just commit the whole thing to God and go right on serving God just as happy as you can be. God will take care of the rest of it. All that the Father has given me will come to me. Get down on your knees. I'll pray with you or anything. I'll pray over the matter. I'll just say, Lord God, I love her. She's the mother of my children, if she is. And say, I just commit the whole thing to you, Lord. I want them saved. You know that I do, but I don't go. I can't go no further. She's going to divorce me anyhow. I haven't done nothing. If I have, reveal it to me. I'll make it right. I will do anything. Then just commit it to the Lord and just let it alone. Then, just let it alone. Go right on living just the same as nothing had ever happened, and God will take care of the rest. The problem is when you don't let it alone. It's like a scab. You keep picking it, and it keeps festering. You just have, the best thing you do with a scab, just let it go, and it'll take care of itself. And that's the way that all the stress and trials that we read in the beginning, a time of trial, a time of stress, and great, you know, pressure on the people, but the letting off of the pressure is to get into Christ. Amen. Just focus on him, focus on what he said, and everything else will take care of itself. Notice what Brother Brown's advice is. Don't worry. Just commit it all to God, and then be happy and relaxed and enjoy life. You see, but Satan's attack is to make you anxious over nothing and set your emotions to a place where because of anxiety, you just can't deal with life. You see it. We are living in Satan's Eden, and that was his first. And what was his first attack? Or what is his first attack in this portion? COVID. And people got all hyped up and anxious about what may happen. I don't know why. More people are killed every year with the flu, and I don't understand why people don't get all hyped up over the flu. Well, they try to get you hyped up. Everybody got to have a vaccine, this and that. Don't get me started, because I've lived with this for years, working with the hospitals. I see that it's all about money, 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 money. What's the best way we can get more money out of the people? Just, you know, give them a flu shot. Then they spread the flu to the family. And that led to compulsive behavior, as we've seen our own media and government take such drastic actions that they work up the anxiety and push the people into compulsive behavior, which is just not normal. It's not a normal thing for people to be living in a compulsive behavior. Got to do this. So people start to stock up on just about everything because they just know things are just going to get worse and worse. And after a while, we see that compulsive behavior become an obsessive behavior. And at that point, the obsession becomes possession, devil possession. And just look at the way that they drive down the street in their car all by themselves, and they're all masked up. Well, any third grader or even less can tell you that they have a hard time breathing with a mask on. It cuts down your oxygen level to your lungs and thus to your brain and thus to your other vital organs. And your body needs at least 95% saturation of oxygen in your blood for your organs to function properly. And your immune system is totally dependent on having enough oxygen to fight off pathogens. But when your oxygen level becomes dangerously low, then they want to throw you on a ventilator, and that's what kills you, because it stretches out the lung tissue and it loses its elasticity. And so on and on and on, the efforts of the government around the world have pushed the people each step of the way into full-blown neurosis. We all know the fabrications that they're doing. Finally, they arrested the CEO of Pfizer yesterday. I read it yesterday morning, so I think it took place Friday. Because of all the fabrications, all the lies, all the bribery that they did to get people to go along with their scheme. So he's finally been arrested. Now, I don't know how far that'll go before somebody above him will step into the FBI and say, hey, back off. He's part of our plan, whatever. But from anxiety, number one, to compulsive behavior, to obsessive behavior, which turns to fear. And then the fear brings on depression, and depression brings on disassociation. Now, we're going to look at those steps. But the word disassociation, we find scriptural evidence for these six characteristics of neurosis prophesied for this end time hour. In our study thus far, we have found anxiety is a main condition that is to be manifested in the end time, and all these other characteristics stem from anxiety. We also find that anxiety is spoken of in the scripture mostly in reference to the cares of this life. We also find that Satan has taken advantage of the curse that was placed upon man by God back in the beginning, after the fall in the garden. And this fall resulted in man having to sweat and toil for a living and the ground being cursed, and therefore man does not always know what will turn out because of his labor. So sometimes labor is in vain because everything's, the conditions are bad. We know how anxiety is a result of actually having a lack of faith and trust in God, and therefore we try to take our own path, our own life path, into our own hands. We find in Proverbs 16:9 that a man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directs his footsteps. And therefore, our labor and toil and everything else is in the hands of God. It doesn't matter what your plans are, it's what God's plans are for you. Amen. That is why we read in Romans 8:31, if God be for us, who can be against us? We also show that, or find that Satan's purpose is to gain control of our minds, and he does this by bringing you under his influence. He brings you into bondage to himself, and remember, we're living in Satan's Eden. In John 8:34, Jesus said, he that committeth sin is the servant of sin, and sin is unbelief. Then we find in 2 Peter 2:19, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. Well, if you just take this jab and then another jab and another jab, we'll get back to normality. First of all, just take this jab and everything's going to be normalized. Well, it didn't happen. Okay, now we've got to have two jabs because it's going to make things normal after that. It didn't happen. Well, now there's a third jab. Now you got to have, you know, in Israel went through this whole thing. They've been the guinea pig of the world. Okay, so you take these two jabs and now you've got freedom. Now you've got liberty. It's a lie. Because now they're saying if you don't have the two, first, if you don't have three jabs now, the two jabs that you have, your passport is already taken away. Now you got to have three. Okay, what's going to be next month? What's going to be next year? Four, five, six? It's to continually push stuff into the people until the population dies. That's the agenda. That's Satan's Eden. Then we find in 2 Peter, he says, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. It's about time that the people cast off all this stuff and say, no more. We're not putting up with your nonsense. Thus, when we are overcome by a certain influences, we become in bondage to that influence, and that is Satan's plan here in Satan's Eden. Now, this bondage is a result of an influence that begins with anxiety. The devil has laid out a snare or trap for everyone in the whole world, and that snare or trap is in the guise of the economy. He knows that people have to make a living. He has known that since the curse that was placed upon man for the disobedience in the garden, in fact, he was responsible for that curse being placed upon man. And so then we see that that he took advantage of that same situation, and he has manipulated man in a wrong focus again. In Genesis 3:17, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, of course she hearkened to the voice of the serpent, and has eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall he bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. And in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. And so we see that man had to begin to labor in order to live. And this is where Satan made decision to use a curse which God himself placed upon man against man in order to bring man under his influence. Hitler did the same thing. He promised the people a better living, 2 cars in the garage, 2 chickens in every pot. And when he had the people under his influence, he began his persecution of the Jews. And the people just turned their heads and didn't become involved because, after all, look what he did for them. You have to understand that after World War I, Germany was in such a despotic, such a ruin, that 1 U.S. penny at that time could have paid off the average mortgage in Germany. 1 penny U.S. I've been to Zimbabwe after they totally, we're free, give them liberty, we're going to be free. And they take all the white men, kick the white man out. And then they gorge themselves for 2 years on what was left in the fields. I've been there, I know. I've talked to the people. For 2 years they gorge on the big white, what do they call that big white steer? It's Charlotte. All right, the Charlotte, and they had, he said they had 6,500 of the Charlotte in their district. He said it, within the next 2 years, they ate every single one of them, left nothing back for breeding. And now the people were starving to death because they had no food. Oh, they had liberty, yeah. Right. They had a path to hell. And I've been through that country. I drove 1,200 miles across that country, 1,200 kilometers, about 900 miles, across that country, looking at all these farms that used to be beautiful farms, you could tell, and now the weeds were growing up waist high, just total ruins, because they thought they were following the plan for liberty. Yeah, so just take another jab and you can get back to normal. Oh, by the way, it'll never be normal again, they say. So there's a new normal. Well, my normal is right here. Because he is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever, he changes not. His life changes not. My life changes not. Because my life is his life. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ is living in me. You see? And the life I'm now living in this flesh, it's not me living, it's Christ living it for me. I surrender myself to him. So Hitler got away with killing the Jews. People say, well, you know, we better not say nothing because, you know, we got 2 chickens in the pot. We got a car in the garage. Things are good financially. So, you know, if they want to play their political games, we'll do it. We'll let them do it. And so we see the influence that Satan has upon the people. He has blinded them by material prosperity. In Revelation 3:14-17, we see that the predominant spirit of this age is that man is so consumed with his material possessions that he has become blind to the spiritual condition. And now the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful, true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. You know, Brother Brown said, if I weren't for this message, I'd be against it. There's no middle ground. You're either for it or you're against it. You're either hot or cold. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And so we see then, according to Luke 21, verses 31 to 35, that the cares of this life will be the snare that will completely entrap the entire world, and they will fail to stand in the presence of the Son of Man when he comes. Now look, I believe the Holy Spirit is still here. I believe the pillar of fire is still leading us in the money. He's still showing himself here and there. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. Luke 21:31 says, so likewise ye, when you see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare, that's a trap, shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. So the economy it's there for a snare. It's upon everybody. This is Laodicea. You've got to keep up with the Joneses. It's Laodicea, rich, increased with goods, but don't know your spiritual condition. And so we have found thus far in our study that Satan used the economy and the lifestyle as a trap to not only catch you off guard, but he uses it to give you another focus, a wrong focus, just like he did with Eve back in the garden. And this then, because it is of his design, it brings you under his influence. And once under his influence, he then step by step brings you under his full control. He did it to Eve. He got her to step out from the protection of the word. And once he did, he implanted himself into her and brought forth his own life in her. And so we have we've seen how this influence of the cares of this life begins to turn us from Christ-centered focus and brings us to the place of coming under a wrong influence, all because of our anxiety concerning the things that might happen concerning the cares of this life. Just like the serpent said to Eve, if you let me inject this into you, you won't die. You surely won't die. And what do the doctors say? Let me inject this into you and you surely won't die. And what happens? They are surely dying. What happened to Eve? They surely died. The day you eat thereof, that's the day you die. It's the same thing. It's the same lie. As I said, throughout the entire miniseries on the end time insanity, before all of this dropped on us 3 months later in January 2020, that the whole Christian world is out of focus. They're obsessed with the next depression, the nation going broke, the new world order, the oncoming plagues, and they are completely missing the Lord who has come down from heaven with a shout. And he's still here, brother, sister. He's still here. And so we see the condition of the church is looking at the what ifs. And they're missing their deliverance from those things. They are focused on the very trap and delusion instead of the way out of it. Sometimes Satan will make those cares of life more real to you than the promises of God will appear to you. Yet Jesus commanded us to seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, instead of looking at the trap, we should be looking for the way to avoid that trap. And so we found that by having a wrong focus to begin with leads us only further into wrong direction. By having a wrong focus, we find ourselves becoming anxious over nothing, which we should not be. And then we focus on all our energies on these future worries. We find ourselves getting caught up into finding our way out of their dilemma. And at this point, we enter into compulsion, which is an irrational behavior. We then become obsessed by that irrational behavior, and it becomes possession. And as Webster says, possession is devil possession. So just never forget that. Peter said in 1 Peter 2:19, he tells us, whosoever we are overcome by, we also become in bondage to as well. And Webster's dictionary calls obsession devil possession. That's what it is. Now, once this obsession takes over our being, now remember, how many believe he's the same yesterday, today, forever? Well, did he not come down with healing in his wings? He still has healing in his wings. So you can believe a doctor who has no clue about God and the source of life, or you're going to believe a God who said, I am the God that healeth all thy diseases. Amen. Put your trust in him. Now, once this obsession takes over our being, we enter into the fourth characteristic of neurosis, which is phobia or fear. Here we find that fear has a penalty. 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath a penalty. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And in Hebrews 2:15, we see that through fear we are made subject to bondage. We found out that this fear and bondage has the effect of stopping any progressive movement in the things of God. Joseph stopped in his tracks concerning Mary. He feared to take Mary to be his wife, and so God had to send his angel to rid Joseph of his fear. I think we need another dose of angelic visitations today. Then we found that the phobia leads to depression, which manifests in the fact that you just don't want to eat anymore. A person gets depressed, they just get tired of eating, they're not hungry. They just want to sleep. They're tired all the time. And so you begin to shut off the spiritual food in due season. You quit eating from God's word and from his message. And then this happens. When this happens, you become weak and you become sickly. This then leads to the last attribute of neurosis, which is disassociation. And we found that this means that you begin to cut off fellowship with the believers. Now, I think it's interesting because disassociation is the last before you're a total neurotic. And they try to push this so fast that they mandated disassociation. 6 feet apart. Well, why 6 feet? You know, in the Dark Ages, you know the expression comes, I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole? Well, that's in the Dark Ages, it was a 10-foot pole. Keep your distance with a 10-foot pole. So why have we gone down to six? You know, I mean, it's just crazy what's going on. But people don't have immune systems either because they eat a bunch of junk food. They don't take care of their bodies. This body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. So if it's a temple of the Holy Ghost, you're going to put an experimental gene therapy into your body? I think that's, you know what, I won't even say the words, but God's not pleased with that. Not for one second. First, you cut off eating from the tree of life, and then you cut off your association with those who do. And this means that those who are eating it themselves, that's what they do. They quit eating altogether, and then pretty soon they won't get together with those that are eating. All right? Now, if you'll notice, these six stages of neurosis have been pushed heavily by the government of this world, and they didn't wait for one to go to the next. They pushed them all on you. You know, compulsive behavior. And look, I'm guilty of it. I know people are nuts, so I go out and I say, okay, I'll make sure I have my toilet paper. You know, there's a few things that you want to have that you don't want to run out of, right? Well, it's pushed on us. And they're trying to compact it all into a short stay. COVID SARS-2 is common cold. There's 200 variants of it. SARS, which was manufactured in the same Wuhan lab, and two is two elements of HIV. Why did they put HIV into the COVID SARS-2? Because they want to suppress your immune system long enough for the SARS to take over and have an ability to do its job in your body. It's what it's all about. Keep your immune system up, and your immune system, your own body function that God gave you, will kill it. All right? Now, if you notice, these six stages of neurosis have been pushed heavily by the governments of this world, who are all under the influence of Satan. Why do they do the same policies in Uganda as they do in the United States? Or in Brazil? Or in Paraguay? Or in Congo? Why are they doing the same thing? Because the same handful of people have become the tyrannical dictators, you know, the Faucis and the CDC, and everybody runs after them. It's peer pressure, you know. Well, they're doing it, we're going to do it too. Now they're jumping off the bridge. You're going to jump off the bridge with them? I mean, it's mental insanity, brother, sister. Why don't people stop and think? You know, if you've had the disease, you're immune to the disease. Your body's already built up an immunity to it. Brother Graham told us that Satan controls every country in the world. And since this is Satan's Eden, 2021, Satan himself is at his apex in controlling the world, as high as he ever will be, and he knows that very soon he's going to lose it all. In Ephesians 4:17-18, we read, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their own mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart." So the people in Laodicea are blind. Blind and naked, don't know it. And so then their understanding has been darkened. Ask yourself, what's going on with the preachers today that shut down the churches? What is that all about? It's to darken the people's minds. Keep them from the light, which is the truth. If you get them into a dark situation, pretty soon everything is dark. Here we find that they cut themselves off from the life of God because of their own ignorance. Their own understanding has become darkened. The word alienated here is a Greek word apolotrio, and it means to shut off oneself from fellowship and intimacy. Now, why is this? Well, if you walk in the light as he is the light, as he's in the light, you have fellowship one with another. The light brings fellowship. And it also brings cleansing, because it says that you know, if you walk in the light, as he is in the light, you have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin, all unbelief. What if you can get the people to shut off the light? Oh, just stay home, push play. Huh? What are you doing? You're actually helping the government, Satan's Eden, who Satan controls the governments. You're helping him to destroy the people, to bring on further the great falling away. 1 John 1:7, if you walk in the light, see in the light, you have fellowship one with another. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. This is because we're told that our fellowship comes from walking in the light. So then if we no longer walk in the light, then we no longer have fellowship. It's just that simple. And the word walk here is a word, peripateo, which means to make one's way, to progress forward in, or to regulate one's life by, or to pass one's life in. So we see the word of where the Lord is a living word in which we live out this word. It is not only something that we believe in, but it is our very life. As Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I'm living. But it's not Paul living, it's Christ living in me. And if it's our very life, then to leave it, it means death to us. And the word fellowship here is the word koinonia, which means communion and fellowship, communication, association or joint participation in. So if we can get the people to disassociate, they're no longer having a joint participation. There's no longer fellowship. And no longer fellowship, there's no longer gathering together of the saints in the last time. And it says you should do that even more so as you see the day approach. Hebrews 10. And so get the people to stay home. Pretty soon people got other things to do. They get caught up more and more in the cares of this life. And pretty soon they don't have time for God. And guess what? He said, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. If you don't draw near to him, he ain't going to draw near to you. All right? Just that simple. So we see that it takes this word of God to become a reality in our lives. And when it does, then it brings a common bond to you. It is not just a matter of knowing it is true. It is a matter of it being real to you. For to just know that it's true could still place it in a historical perspective as it does to the nominal Christian. But to know that it is real, it then begins to live out your very life for you. When you read this word, you can actually see it manifesting itself all around you. Because after all, God's prophet said, God interprets his word by bringing it to pass. And so when you read this word and then see it taking place, you're in actuality living out that portion of God's word. We then showed you various examples of the word coming to pass and you being a part of that living word, a living, dynamic word which is continually moving ahead. In fact, we quoted from Anointed Ones at the End Time where Brother Bram said, for it is impossible for those which were once for all enlightened and didn't move on with the word as it comes to pass, they're dead, they're gone. When you see people that say, well, I haven't changed in 40 years, bless God, I believe this message for 40 years and I haven't changed a bit. Yeah, that's right, because you're dead. Living things change every day. Cells multiply. Cells increase, cells have to divide to multiply. But there's life expression. And so we must continue to move on with the Word of God as it comes to pass, or we are dead, dead, dead. Now, we could go on and on with this, but what I'm trying to get across to you this morning is that if you walk in the light, or walking in the light is what brings fellowship, it is a walking that does it. Because the walk is experience, and you live out this word. And as we experience it together, we share together this life experience, then it is not so much that we are speaking of the word, which alone is true, but in an even greater sense of the word, we are speaking of a word which is not only true, but is alive and has become a reality to you because you are actually seeing it in manifestation. Then you're experiencing the living word, and as others experience the same living word, the fellowship is just as natural as life itself, because after all, our fellowship comes by sharing experiences with one another. We can't help but to walk to one another because we're actively participating in the same living word. But neurosis brings just the opposite effect. A wrong focus brings forth wrong actions, which brings forth wrong communications, which brings forth bondage and death instead of deliverance and life. How many people, and those that have worked in hospitals, how many people understand that when you take away from an old person their grandchildren or their children and they're put in a place all by themselves and they got a mask up and no oxygen and so their brain is getting deader and deader because there's less oxygen, how many people understand that what you're doing is you're killing that person? Oh no, we're doing it to save them. No, you're not doing it to save them. You're doing it so you can get an extra $20,000 from the government for killing them. Why do you think if you're put on a ventilator, you get an extra $20,000 from Medicare? It's all a bunch of criminality going on. The same thing happened in Germany, people. Let's not forget, that was only 60, 70 years ago.
80 by now, but no, not that far. 60 years ago. Nazi Germany killed people left and right, put them in gas chambers, everything else, and the people just, you know, better not say nothing. That might be one of them. Listen, if the millions of people in Germany would have rose up against Hitler, they could have wiped out Hitler and his generals, because a lot of the people in the army would have stood in with him. But that's not going to happen, because the people have been so dumbed down with all the pollutions in the air, fluoride. All the fluoride in the, you know what the fluoride, you know who invented fluoride? You know who used it first? Russia and the gulags, to keep the people passive so they wouldn't rise up. So they, what do they do? Let's put it in the people's water, and for 50, 60 years they're drinking fluoride in their water. You can't get the American people to do what they do in Brazil. March on the government with pitchforks and everything else, demand change. They'll never do it. You get a handful go to Washington and they arrest them and throw a bunch of fake accusations about them. Who are the people that broke the windows? It was FBI informants and FBI people working with FBI. It's all criminality. Set these people up. So what do they need? They need about 10 million people to show up in Washington with pitchforks and drive Washington out. That's what they need. Will it happen? No, it won't happen. Because the people in this country are just passive, passive, passive. So we just turn our eyes upon Jesus. 1 Peter 1, 3-5, Blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ out from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, and you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. All right, notice there's a trial of our faith. Now notice this end time revelation is to bring end time salvation and deliverance. He says in verse 7 and 9 that the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire. The trial of what faith? How many believe in a resurrection? How many believe in a rapture? Okay, you're going to have a trial to get there. What are we going through right now? A pre-tribulation revelation or a pre-tribulation delusion? The world is being deluded. We're being revelated. All right? And the trial comes because you're living in the same world together. All right? That it might be found, notice, that the trial of your faith, the trial of your revelation, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, it might be found unto praise. What is praise offering? It's a fruit offering of your lips, giving praise to his name, and honor, taking the lower seat, and glory, the dokes of God, the opinions, the values, the judgment of God, at the appearing or the revelation, the revealing, the apocalypse of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Full of what? Glory. What's the glory? It's the opinions, values, and judgment of God. Jesus said, Father, I give them thy glory, that they might be one, even as we are one. Receiving the end of your revelation, even the salvation of your souls. We are at that hour, right now. Now, there was one last thing that Webster brought out about neurosis, which is the last thing that he said about neurosis, and that is that it will eventually bring forth full-blown conversion. This is actually the seventh characteristic, which we know seven is the number of completion. The first six are a progressive stage that moves one into the other, one into a complete takeover by demonic control. But there is something different about this last characteristic that I would like to examine closer. It is conversion. The last characteristic is conversion. Now, isn't it interesting that God, in his thing, he wants to bring us to a conversion to where we are born again with his life living in us. Well, what's the devil's conversion? It's satanic control. It's satanic influence. How are they trying to do it? Listen, if you would only do the study and find out the gene therapy, what did gene therapy do? The guy that invented the mRNA said it's not supposed to be used for what they're using it for. He said it's only supposed to be used to take a cancer cell and to change the cancer cell, not to change your body. But what does the messenger RNA do? It attaches to the RNA, the protein. What does it do? It gives it a different message, a different instruction. So now, that's what HIV was all about. It turned off the instructions from the body to set up a defense against disease. And the HIV came in, that was a protein that was added, a messenger protein that was linked itself up to your DNA. It changed your DNA and says, oh, I'm not going to defend against that. Now, the HIV guy doesn't die of HIV. He dies of colds, pneumonia,
and you know, just the common things that affect the body. He doesn't die of some, you know, some great HIV manifestation of some sort. It just shuts down your defenses. And when I heard that in 1990, when the CDC, the director of CDC said, well, the HIV piggybacks itself to your DNA and it changes, it rewrites. And I thought, well, if it can be that smart to rewrite your code, it's a demon. And all I got to do is go back to what Brother Brown said, all germs are demons. They're demons. They are there, and they've inserted themselves. They're not part of your body. They've come onto you. They've injected, that life was injected into you somehow. And they're not satisfied today with just, you know, from person to person. They want to make it from, you know, get the shot and we'll give you a lot bigger dose of it. Spike proteins. Your body doesn't. You're not supposed to build spike proteins, but if we spike proteins in the virus, you know, it wasn't the common cold that killed people, or maybe some that were 85 to 95 years old had respiratory issues anyway. But it wasn't that; it was the spike proteins that destroyed the young people. You get the spike protein in you, and it tears away at all the linings of your lungs and your brain and your heart, and myocarditis and all these things come. What is called pericarditis, and you got the womb, you know, the lining of the womb is being torn away, and women are, you know, having miscarriages because their bodies have these spike proteins and they're producing spike proteins. And so what they do with the injection is they inject it into you, so your organs, your liver, your kidneys, your brain, all your organs produce the spike protein. What is it? It's destruction. Destruction. Purposeful destruction. And men aren't going to jail for that? Well, they're not going to get past the white throne. And you people are going to be judges against them at the white throne. If we're being conformed to his image and he's a supreme judge, we're going to sit there as judges also. The panel of judges. For this day, and like Brother Bell said, every age, the people that lived in that age will judge the people of that age. We're not going to be judging people in Noah's day. Noah will be judging people in his day. We'll be judging people in this day because we see openly what they've done. The evidence is all there. So after you start off by anxiety, you begin to do compulsively, and then these compulsive behaviors take over and become obsessions, which is devil possession. Then fear sets in, and depression soon follows. And when this happens, you quit eating the word for the hour, and you begin to spiritually starve yourself. Eventually, because you no longer desire this type of food, you begin to avoid those who do, and you disassociate with those who do, cutting yourself off from the fellowship and associating with anyone or anything that walks in the light. And then finally, the final characteristic of neurosis takes over, and that is complete conversion from a Christ-centered life to a materialistic-centered life. And there we have conversion. The seventh and last characteristic of this neurotic condition that Brother Bam said the whole world was caught up into. Notice those people that claim to believe the sign, left the message. What do they do? Every one of them goes back to a materialistic life. Cut their hair, wear pants, get all the things that they always wanted to have. And it's just push, push, push. 1 Timothy 4:1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of the devil. So they depart from the faith because they gave heed to seducing spirits, not you know, as Brother Bill always said, you know, the serpent didn't rape Eve, he seduced her. He used niceties to get her to open up to him. And he says, doctors of devils. The scripture speaks of the falling away from the faith at the end time. And isn't it strange that governments controlled by Satan want to shut down the churches and the ministers went along with it? And said it's God's will to obey Caesar. Well, my brothers and sisters, you can't depart from the faith in any more open fashion than to close down your churches. So that's a departing from the faith. A falling away. Ephesians 4:18-20, having the understanding darkened, they being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness, but you have not so learned Christ. So when the world is moving in a certain direction, staying home and pushing play,
when God told us through the Apostle Paul not to stay home, but rather to gather together even much more as we see the day approach. And Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. So what's wavering? Well, you're on today, you're off tomorrow. A very inconsistent application of your faith. For he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as we see the day approaching. For if we sin or disbelieve willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for our unbelief. So see how Satan got people to willingly stay home from church for fear of COVID, boogeyman, and some pathetic minister, and I say pathetic, will take a dislocated quote from Jesus out of context, and they will say, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and then forget to finish what Jesus point blank said, and unto God what is God's. And they forget that when Jesus had been shown a coin that had Caesar's image on it, and he said, whose image is on the coin? And they said, it's Caesar's. And he said, then it belongs to Caesar. Render to Caesar what's Caesar's. But then he said, but unto God what is God? Well, is the bride of Christ and the image of Christ or not? Then whose property are we? We are not Caesar's property. We are God's property. He said, I've got you written, every one of you. Your names are in the palm of my hand. We belong to him. We don't belong to this government. And they forget that when Jesus said that he was shown a coin. Okay, so to quote that scripture in favor of Satan's Eden and causing people to stay away from church and thus fall away, it surely shows these ministers are not ministers of God, but ministers of Satan. And I'll stand in front of any one of them that's doing it and tell them that. Especially when the Apostle Paul warned us, if any man preaches any other gospel than what I have preached, let him be cursed. And I say, brother, you're under the curse, because the Apostle Paul said, don't forsake the gathering of the saints together. And you're saying, oh, render to Caesar. Now, you may say, well, that's just too blunt, Pastor. But I really don't care how blunt it may seem. That is what the Word of God teaches. And God said, let every man's word be a lie, and mine be truth, saith the Lord. So we see the same warning in 2 Corinthians 11:13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. And what's the end of it? Burning. Tribulation. Therefore, we see that in this Satan's Eden, his ministers have infiltrated even this message with men who bow down to the image of Satan's government and refuse to take a stand against what Satan is doing. Therefore, it shows that this cutting off of the life of God, which comes via his word, starts with a wrong influence and a wrong understanding, which is one that is darkened. That's why I pray for the Polish minister up there in, Calgary, because he at least knows the gospel enough to take a stand. And we've got ministers of this message who say, no, get the jab. That's God's saving grace. That's the devil's transformation of the people into transhumans. When you have your DNA changed, the head researcher, the head scientist for Moderna, he said, this isn't the vaccines, this is a human operating system 2.0. Did you know he said that? Human operating system 2.0. We're going to change the people. Isn't that Satan's Eden? Get everybody changed? And why do these preachers preach Satan's mantra instead of God's word? Because they have no root in themselves, and so they fall away from the truth and lead others to fall away with them. And you know what? They do it of their own volition. In other words, all these edicts to shut down churches have been proven time and time again to be unlawful orders. They are not laws because they are not voted on by the legislature. And so in all of them, when they went to court, the court turned them down. So not only are these pastors complying with laws which are illegal, but they are lawbreakers in teaching others to do what is unlawful. When you go along with lawlessness for the sake of peace, you're not a peacemaker, you're lawless. Then they'll be judged as lawless people. And since Brother Bram said in his sermon, Shalom, he said, and all the New Testament speaks of this hour, Jesus speaks for this hour. Then what did Jesus say in the New Testament that also applies to this hour? Matthew 23:13. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you're hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourself, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Stay home, everybody! But keep sending your tithes. Hey, we'll take credit cards. We'll take, you know, whatever. Just mail it to us. Put it in the mail. Just go online. Yeah, churches, even in this message, paying by credit card. The prophet was totally against that kind of attitude. What is a credit card? It's a debit. It's a debt card. All right?
Whoa.
So what have we here? Ministers who deny for their people to attend church. That's what it says. That's what Jesus said. They will not go in themselves, neither will they suffer those that are going to go in. No, I can't come to church because, you know what, we're shut down. Okay, you just open yourself up to a big charge at the White Throne. Matthew 23:13. So again, we see Luke 8, verse 11. More New Testament words from Jesus. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their heart, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these having no root, which for a while believe, and in times of temptation they fall away. And that which fell among the thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. Another parable where Jesus says the same thing. He says, and the word cannot produce. The word cannot come to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, they keep it, and they bring forth fruit with patience. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may be seen. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed therefore how you hear, or in what manner that you're hearing. For whosoever hath or echoes, to him shall be given, and whosoever echoes not, from him shall be taken away even that which he seems to hear. That's why I just don't agree with these brothers who they put a, you got to have some type of a password and code and everything else to watch your sermons live. The Bible says you're freely given, you freely receive. Freely receive, freely give. It doesn't say, well, you know what, you got to be a member of our institution, our organization. That just shows it's an organizational spirit. So what candle do you put a cover over it? A password to get in. You see, there's so much unscripture being done in the name of protecting the church. You don't need to protect yourself. God's here to protect you. He's going to protect you by taking you out of here. Luke 13:22. And he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the gate, the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen and has shut the door, has he risen? Is it later than we think? The doors are shut. And you begin to stand outside and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. He shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. Now, notice these are them who are on the outside, not those on the inside with him. Then shall you begin to hear, say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. Iniquity, you know to do right, you don't do it. Now, the root of part here is the same word for falling away. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's tribulation, always tribulation. When ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, that's resurrection, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves are thrust out. Hey, they put themselves out. Behold, the bridegroom is here. Come out to meet him. I don't see them. They're looking for a vessel. So what do? They go off. Instead of hanging around until their eyes are open to the appearing of the Lord, before the coming of the Lord. So they go off to them that sell. Who's doing the selling of this day? Well, we all know. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. The evil heart of unbelief is a wrong understanding, because it causes the falling away or the departure from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any one of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, which is unbelief. But for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation, for some, when they heard, did provoke, albeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness, and to whom swear he that they should never enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So, we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Let us therefore fear lest any lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. So they both got, see, the foolish version and the wise version both heard the midnight cry. But the word preached to them did not profit, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Now, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, and that word coming is the word parousia, so we are now living in that time, that you be not soon shaken in mind, nor be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as at the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worship, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not, that when I was with you, I told you these things. And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth, that's the Holy Spirit, will let, until he be taken out of the way, that's when he goes up from the midst of humanity. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his parousia, even him whose parousia is after the working of Satan, with all powers and signs and lying wonders, two parousias, parousia God, parousia Satan, the appearing God, appearing Satan, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that are perishing, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion. We preached on that last week. That they should believe a lie, and Brother Ram said that's the lie, the same lie that was told Eve. That they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in an unright wiseness. All right? There must be a falling away in order for us to know that we are at the end time and the appearing of Christ. Now, Hebrews 6:4-6 tells us, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the power of the world to come. That's this message we saw. Everything happened this hour. If they shall fall away, or having fallen away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing that they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. See, you can't crucify the body of Jesus again. So you crucify him to yourself. Now remember, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm living, but it's not me that's living. It's Christ living in me. You're crucifying that. You're not crucifying the body of Jesus. You're crucifying the effect of his gospel upon yourself. Those who have been once for all enlightened and deviate from this enlightenment actually fall away, and it is impossible for them to ever change their thinking toward it again. 2 Peter 3:14-18. Wherefore, beloved, seek that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found in him in peace, without spot or blameless. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable, they wrestle with, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing that you know these things beforehand, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both for now and both now and forever. Amen. In other words, he's saying, look, you already know the truth. You know what's coming down the pike.
These people sitting in the message, if they had been studying the message, they would know germ warfare is coming. They would know that depression is coming. They would know these things are coming. They would be at peace when they come. Because they're not going to go along with the mainstream media push to make you afraid, to make you fearful. You see, he says that we would be at peace and not fall from our steadfastness. Hebrews 12, 1 to 17. Wherefore, seeing that we also are compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And I cut the other verses out because just to save time. He's saying one thing. All this stuff coming, get your eyes off of it. Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. 1 Corinthians 10, 1 to 14. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual rock, for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be you idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of the serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now, all these things happened unto them for an example, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted, or that means tested, above what you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I could just list names of people who have had to go through the same stuff, and God made a way of escape for them. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left my first love, Revelation 2, 4 to 5. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come up unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Matthew, what's your candlestick? That's your life. Matthew 7, 23, every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Not talk, do. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not in thy name cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. You that know to do right, and you don't do it. And Jude 1:24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, there's only one, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. In other words, the world is in neurotic condition, but you don't have to be there with them. Just turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of this world will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Luke 21:25. And there shall be signs of the sun and the moon and the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, which we see them, they're already here, of the 84 signs and events that Jesus and Paul and Peter and James and John spoke of when they used that word parousia, of the 84 signs and events, 79 have already taken place, brother, sister. There's only five left. Only five left, and that's change of the body, resurrection, catching away, those things. Men's hearts failing for fear and looking for those things that are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall see the sign of the Son of Man coming, with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up. It's the only thing we got to do. Look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draws nigh. In other words, oh my goodness, we're now at the end of the end. many of us sitting here this morning, standing, those that are overseas watching, will not taste death in this body, but will receive a body change. It's that close, brother, sister. My grandchildren and my wife and I will be the same age very soon. Think about that, Brother Peter. Your daughter there, she'll be the same age as you. Michael, she'll be the same age as you. From letting off the pressure and clothing. See, full pressure. Doctors are that way. Nurses are that way. Psychiatrists are doctoring psychiatrists. Pressure. Something's wrong. It just seems to be so strange. The whole world is going some way. The nervous doctoring the nervous. But you know, in all of it, the doctor doesn't have the answer. The hospital, the medics, they don't have the answer because they're nervous too. But there's only one that has the answer, and that is God. He has the answer. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we are so thankful that you and you alone have all the answers. And it's written in your book here, your Bible. So, Father, we just commit ourselves unto thee. And we pray that you would help us, O God, to turn our eyes upon Jesus, to look full in his wonderful face. And the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Let's just sing that song together as we dismiss.
Turn your eyes upon